I'm sorry to interrupt, but Ms. Examiner, I'm not sure that we can hear you online yet.
Oh, I think it was because I may have didn't click the
Right.
panelist one. Are you able to hear us now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. All right. So are we, and we are still recording? Okay. All right. Good afternoon, Susan Drummond, Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. We are back on the record on the SDAPCPA appeal for the WoodSpring Suite Hotel. It's 131 on August 24th, Monday. Just want a note, you should be able to see me. The audio is not coming through my laptop, but just so you can see me a little better. We did a new, with the room set up, we did made a few little switches. But so I think at this point, the appellants were going to call another witness, may have been Chris Freeland. Is that correct? Ms. Ryland. Okay. Ms. Ryland, are you with? Okay. All right.
Here, unmute button turns it on. Oh, thank you.
Good afternoon again. If you could state your name for the record.
Chris Ryland.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Ms. Ryland. Could you please state your roles with Pacific Northwest Title of Kitsap County and with Cavalon Place LLC?
Yes, I'm currently the president and CEO of Pacific Northwest Title and the managing member of Cavalon Place LLC.
Could you describe your responsibilities in these roles?
Yes, I'm in charge of oversight, operations, day-to-day management, leasing of both entities, actually.
Okay. And what is your involvement with the Highland Business Park and its Owners Association?
Okay, so I've been a member of the Highland Business Park since its inception, since we built the building in 2007, I think is when we took occupancy, and then I've been a continuing member since then. So we set the meetings, take minutes of the meetings, set the budget, get the budget approved, handle any issues that arise in the business park.
And were you involved with the business park and its owners association for the 2 years before occupancy, starting in 2005?
Starting in 2005, yes.
How did you become familiar, or how have you become familiar with the parking and access and circulation conditions at the business park?
Yeah. So, like I said, I've been there from the beginning, and any issues that arise, they end up being circulated through me and my assistant. So, we've been involved in any kind of parking management.
Could I ask the clerk to bring up page 3 of Exhibit B10?
One second.
Thank you.
Sorry, give me a few more seconds.
Nope, take your time.
While we're waiting for the exhibit itself, could you describe the buildings and parcels that PNW Title and Cavalon Place own or occupy at 2021 Northwest Myrie Road?
Yeah, we're on the opposite side of where the proposed hotel site is. So, credit union, vacant lot. We're also referred to as Cavalon 2, Anchor Properties, Cavalon 1, Cavalon LLC, Cavalon Place LLC, and Pacific Northwest Title in Cavalon 2.
And now that we have the image on page 3 of Exhibit B10, can you identify which of those buildings is Cavalon 2?
Yeah, right smack dab in the middle.
The one to the right.
Yes, true.
Okay. What is the approximate size of the office and medical space in that building?
In that building, 36,000 square feet.
And what kind of tenants and uses occupy that particular building?
Yeah, we have a mixture of tenants. We have medical, dental, and oral surgery center, economic development agency, CPA, financial planning, real estate company.
Do the medical and dental uses generate patient and visitor traffic in addition to employee traffic?
Yes.
And how does that affect parking demand for the building?
So the parking demand for those particular users, their request has been overall to park out front. They have aged clients in particular. One medical tenant does. The other one with oral surgery, they have post-operative, so that's a concern to them. They have requested that we park that. Their patients can park directly out front.
And would you say that the nature of these particular patients being elderly, disabled, all that creates additional concerns regarding pedestrian access and concerns about vehicles moving around too quickly, that kind of thing?
Yeah, and I won't speak for the doctor clinic site, but we have some of the similar patients with our medical user, and like I said, some of them can be in walkers, some of them with canes, and that's a concern. And speed bumps, sure. Okay.
Oh, are there any based on these kind of concerns, have you installed any speed bumps?
Yeah. See. Thank you. You can see right to the southeast corner. There's a speed bump that we put in there. There's speed bumps that we've put in behind the buildings because coming in off of Myrie Road, that just got to be a racetrack and it was dangerous for the patients. And they travel around back to spit out onto Buckland Hill. You can't quite see in that picture, but. So yes, that's what we had to do to just try to slow that traffic down.
And when you say they go around the back, like is that those are vehicles just cutting through to the south?
Coming through. And I think it's fair to say there's a real choke point that's at that crossroads of Myrie and Ridgetop. And like Kelly mentioned from the credit union, people take a shortcut through there because the stacking for all those streets has gotten to be kind of a mess.
What are the typical business hours and busy periods for the office of medical tenants?
Typically, well, I should say most of us are 8 to 5. The oral surgery will start as early as 7. We have a lot of late afternoon, evening signings. So our peak time is pretty late afternoon for some of the financial our customers. Dentist is all day long.
And you just mentioned our hours and that sort of thing.
Oh,
Are you on site personally
yeah.
often?
Yes.
Okay. Approximately how many people, and by people I mean employees, tenants, patients, other visitors, deliveries, that kind of thing, use the building on a typical weekday?
Oh gosh, in our building alone, easy over 500.
Over 500. Okay. Can you describe the parking? And we still have the image up from page 3 of B10, exhibit B10 earlier. Can you describe the parking that serves the office and medical buildings, where the tenants park, where the employees park, where the visitors park?
Yeah. So we've asked, the employees to park. I'm so used to north being up.
North is to the
So,
right.
right. On the west side, as you can see, that strip along where the apartments are behind there. And then again to the north, leaving all of that space on the east side open.
Leaving the space on the east side open for who?
For customers, patients.
Okay. Approximately how many parking spaces serve the buildings? The two Cavalon buildings, I'll
Oh,
clarify.
both of them? I think we let's see, I have that note. One second. We have 190 surface spots between Cavalon 1 and 2.
Okay. In your experience, are there already times when parking near the office and medical buildings is heavily used or fully occupied?
There are times, yes.
When do those peaks occur?
Heavy surgery days when any of the tenants are having office meetings. For us, the title company, it's mid-month and month end. We have just a steady stream of people coming in.
And we had talked a little bit earlier about the need for proximity for parking. Do the tenants and the patients expect to find parking near the building entrances, not just the building itself?
Yeah, the building entrance, there's just main overhangs where you come into both buildings. So it's very evident where the beginning of where the entrance to the building is. And so, yes, I mean, you can certainly see people circulating around there looking for parking if it is full.
And just to clarify, because we have an image with north to the right, when we're talking about the main entrances, we're talking about the bottom
Yes.
of the buildings, looking at this image, the
Yes.
image. Can you describe how vehicles currently circulate between the office and medical parcels, the credit union, and the vacant parcel?
Okay, I'm not completely familiar with the credit union, other than we're on the third floor of Cavalon 2. So we can see the near misses from there. And it usually is a point of conversation. The rest of the people, because we come in from the highway, most of us, we come down Ridgetop, take a left onto Myrie, and enter the first entrance. And then come to the left and head around to the back of the building. That's where the majority of the employees enter. They don't enter from that entrance that you see between the buildings.
The employees do not enter off of Myrie.
Yeah, they enter off of Myrie, but the first entrance that would be right
The
across from the
left or the
vacant
right?
lot, to the right.
To the right. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you observed or received reports of congestion or conflicts or difficulty finding parking under the current conditions?
Yeah, there are times.
Are you familiar with the southern undeveloped parcel within the business park that's looking at the same image from exhibit B10 that's on the left to
Yes.
the left? Is there overflow parking on that parcel today?
Yes.
Is it formal parking? Approximately how many overflow spaces are there and who uses them?
I don't observe it on a daily basis, and I've never counted them. If I were to guess, I would say 10 to 15. I
So you,
mean, I can see it on the drawing there.
no, I just to clarify, we're not talking about hundreds and we're not
Oh,
talking
no.
about one or two. We're talking about
Yeah.
in between 10 and 20.
Yes.
Okay.
And we don't use that parking space. That would be Anchor Properties.
Okay. Are you aware that some of the existing spaces on the hotel parcel would be taken by the hotel if it's built.
The
So if
space.
we zoom in on this image a little bit,
Uh-huh.
you can see that
Oh, the
there
truck
appears to
bathroom.
be some informal parking,
Right.
and then
Yes.
also the formal parking spaces at the bottom along
Correct.
Myrie.
Yes, I understand that would be the case.
Okay. And is it fair to say assume some of that current parking comes from the Cavalon 2 building?
Yes.
Okay. What is your understanding of how many of those existing medical office medical associated spaces would be lost to the hotel?
Lost to the hotel.
Like the hotel would use those spots rather than your tenants
Oh,
or their
the
customers.
four or five that park there.
Okay. Do you think, no. What effect would the loss of those spaces and the overflow area have on office and medical tenants and their visitors?
The loss of those, we could still park those four or five that park there, but it, can you repeat the question? Does it have to do with the hotel design?
No,
Oh,
my question is just we have some spots that people
yeah,
are already using now.
right.
Assuming the hotel were to go in,
Yes.
would that make parking easier or harder?
It would be harder because we're all also using, again, we've asked people not to park in front. So we are using some of the parking spaces that are right along Myrie across the vacant lot. And those sometimes four, sometimes five spaces on the dirt.
Okay. I want to switch topics because not just your role in operating the Cavalon 2 building, but also your role regarding the history of the business park. Can you describe the history of the business park, including the 2005 approval and the original development plans for the parcels?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the 2005 approval. I'm a declarant on the original CC&Rs. Cavalon 1 and 2 were built to those plans. The credit union footprint was built to those plans, and pad 2 and 5 have remained vacant.
And so there were five pads total,
Yeah.
part of the original plan. You mentioned we can take this image down. Oh, poorly timed, but we can leave it up too.
As soon as she returns, we'll take it down.
Okay.
There we go.
No
Oh
problem.
no.
I should have looked up.
No worries. You can take the image down. No rush on that.
Ms. Ryland, you mentioned that you've been involved with the business park since its formation. Are you familiar with the codes, covenants, and restrictions that are commonly called CC&Rs for the business park?
Yes.
Are those CC&Rs reflected in Exhibit F25?
I'd have to see F25.
Ms. Clerk, could you please pull up Exhibit F25?
Yes, one moment. Yes.
Okay, great. Based on your understanding of the CC&Rs, can the CC&Rs be modified?
Yes.
Which part do you know which part of the CC&Rs authorizes the owners of the business park to modify the CC&Rs?
I'd have to review it.
Could
Not
it
off the top of my head.
be Section 12.5?
Let's see what does it say, table of contents say.
Close your eyes if you get motion sick.
12.
We are looking for page 32 of Exhibit F25. I'm going to actually hand you a binder because I want to have you read a passage.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Exhibit page 30.
Exhibit pay Exhibit F25, page 32.
Oh, I went too far.
Can I please have you read section 12.15 in full?
12.5 or 12.15?
Oh, is it 12.5? Maybe my
Yes,
notes are wrong.
12.5.
It's 12.5. Okay,
Okay.
notes are wrong. 12.5 regarding modification.
Okay. This declaration may not be modified in any respect whatsoever or terminated in whole or part except with the affirmative vote of 60% of the association as set forth in section 2.2 at a meeting in which a quorum is present, provided that any modification of parcel's voting power, including section 2.2, or a parcel's proportionate share of costs and expenses, including section 7.5, or the use restrictions imposed of a parcel shall require an affirmative vote of 100% of the association as set forth in section 2.2 at a meeting in which a quorum is present. A quorum is defined as 60% of the members present who are entitled to vote. The amendment is effective only by written instrument duly executed and acknowledged by the president, secretary of the board, and recorded in the office of the Kitsap County Auditor. No modifications or termination of this declaration shall affect the rights of any lien holder unless the lien holder consents in writing to the modification or termination.
I appreciate you reading all the way through to the end. There was a purpose.
Okay.
Is there any language in any of that long passage that you read that requires the county to approve any changes to the CCNRs?
No.
Switching topics, does anything in the CCNRs refer specifically to hotel use in the business park?
No.
Is there any language in the CCNRs addressing what uses are allowed under the CCNRs?
Not allowed. There are some things that are not allowed.
Could you switch to section 11.13? There and actually, could you identify the page that it's on? It's the red on the bottom.
Page 31.
Page 31. Does section 11.13 address what uses are allowed under the CCNRs?
I can read this for you.
Okay, sure.
It's shorter.
Okay.
The uses of the business park are limited to the uses proposed by the applicant on the recommended site plan dated February 8th, 2005, and the SEPA environmental checklist dated January 27th, 2005. Any other uses will be subject to further review pursuant to the requirements of the appropriate Kitsap County ordinances.
To your knowledge, does the list of uses that's referenced in section 11.13 include hotel use?
No.
Okay. I want to switch back to talking a little bit about parking. Are you familiar with the proposed hotel on the vacant parcel?
Yes.
Is it your understanding that most of the hotel's parking would be located to the rear of the building?
Yes.
Based on your experience with how your visitors and tenants actually park, if hotel guests can't easily find or reach that rear lot, where would you expect them to park instead?
Spill over onto the adjacent lot north and us to the south.
What's your concern about this kind of spillover of hotel guests and employees parking in the spaces that your tenants and visitors currently rely on?
Well, the easiest place for them to park would be in the front area that we're trying to reserve for the patients and clients of our businesses.
Do you have any concerns about how hotel traffic would circulate through the business park?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate?
Okay. Yeah, I do have a lot of concern. I mean, right now it's summer, the days are long. I can't even imagine with what the circulation is like today, what it's going to be like on a dark, winter, rainy period of time where you're not going to see signs, you're going to park wherever you park. As people come in, see the entrance to a hotel, that's where you check in. That's where you unload before you'll even look for parking. That entrance coming off of Myrie is so, to me, it's so overused that it is I mean, not just for the hotel, but it's a pedestrian nightmare for anybody that's walking out of their cars to the credit union to ours. So, I've looked at that site plan over and over again, and it's like I can't imagine what this is going to be like. So, yeah, it's a huge safety concern.
And just to clarify, you're not a traffic expert, but this is based on decades of observing how people use
Like
this
I
property.
said, we can see all the near misses already.
Okay. Has anyone from the applicant's team or the county, to your knowledge, proposed solving the hotel's access and circulation needs by creating a new access route across the hotel parcel?
No.
Have they tried to solve that by shifting access or creating a new route? Nope. I already asked that. Are you aware of whether the hotel plans to include a designated guest check-in or loading area?
Yes.
What concerns do you have about a, oh, actually, I should say, where's your understanding of where the entrance would be?
It's directly across from that main entrance coming off of Myrie,
The driveway.
the driveway.
What concerns do you have about arriving guests stopping in the drive aisles to unload and the effect on circulation to your building?
Yeah, if someone comes in off of Myrie to reach Cavalon to reach our property, if someone's there, that car would have to move over and be head on with somebody trying to get out that direction.
To your knowledge, has anyone from the applicant's team or the county asked Pacific Northwest Title, Cavalon, or the Owners Association to agree to a shared parking or cross-parcel parking arrangement?
No, we have a shared parking. We have reciprocal parking rights within the park already, so there has been no additional requests or questions.
No additional requests related to the proposed project that we're talking about today.
Correct.
To your knowledge, did anyone from the county contact Pacific Northwest Title, Cavalon, or the Owners Association regarding the CCNRs as they relate to parking as part of the CEPA process? Did they contact anybody
Contact?
directly?
No.
Would the office and medical owners, your tenants, agree to have hotel guests or and employees using the parking spaces near your building?
Well, like I mentioned, we've got reciprocal parking rights, but our concern is that doesn't extend to overnight stays, and if we had exercise this reciprocal parking, Cavalon 1 and 2 cannot access the rear parking area of the proposed hotel without then going around the credit union. So the whole idea that this is all shared parking is just a huge concern. So would we agree to say, sure, hotel, you can park here? I can't see where that would be reasonable.
Because on a practical level, it wouldn't be function. You couldn't have a reciprocal use
We could
from
not.
the from that west parking lot.
That's
Okay.
correct.
We've talked a little bit with a couple different people today about parking management systems and signage and that sort of thing. In your experience managing the building, are signs and voluntary parking restrictions generally effective at keeping non-tenants out of tenant and visitor parking?
No, as both a landlord and we have branch offices, I've had experience with parking signs, and I think it's just fair to say that people disregard them. I think it's just fair to say that.
And do you have anyone on your staff right now who would be able to be in charge of enforcing
No.
this parking?
No.
Based on everything that you know about operating and owning your business and parking and the business park and kind of all of your body of knowledge, what is your overall view regarding whether the proposed hotel will cause or worsen parking and vehicle access problems for your building specifically and the business park as a whole?
My overall concern
Uh-huh.
is again these choke points, the safety, the mass of this building, how far to the east that it is. Even going around the credit union, you don't even have a line of sight. It's a mass building. The proposal is lot line to lot line. So it's a concern. There's a concern already with the traffic, and there is no circulation. You're cutting off all the circulation that was originally proposed. So, again, it just goes back to the safety of vehicles, pedestrians, and just again, future tenants.
That is all the questions that I have for you at this point in time. Thank you.
Is there additional direct from the other appellant parties?
None from us. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So then we'll move to cross. Is there any cross examination?
Just briefly from me, good afternoon, Ms. Ryland.
Hello.
I just wanted to ask you, I'm going to pull up on the shared screen, if you can see that. I'm looking at page two of Ms. Hirstein's report, exhibit A2. Can you see that?
Yes.
And I believe you testified earlier. I think you said there are 190 surface parking spots around what's labeled in the graphic on this page as the office buildings. Is that right?
Yeah, Kellon 1 and 2.
Okay. And do you see the number here, 247 spaces for the office buildings?
Yeah,
What
so
accounts for
that's,
that difference?
yeah, there are, let's see, between the two of us, there is underground parking in both of those buildings.
Okay. And so that would be based on this. I think it's approximately 57 underground spots.
Yeah, that sounds right. 'Cause
Okay. And then I
yeah,
think you were also talking with Mr. Patterson about the number of spaces on the undeveloped parcel at the south end of the building. Do you agree with what it says here that there are 19 spaces designated there?
yeah, that could be true.
Thank you. And then I think my only other question was you were talking about the path that the office building in employees in your experience take to drive to work. And were you saying the employees come from the east, so I guess the right side of this graphic, and then turn right into the driveway that is next to what's shown in this graphic as the proposed hotel?
That's correct.
There is also access afforded to the office building parcel from the driveway to the south of that, right next to the words office buildings on this graphic.
Can you point to where you're
Yep.
sitting?
So just looking on Myrie, there are two driveways. There's, I think, the one that we were just talking about on the north end, and then there's also a southern driveway that here is just right next
Right.
to the words office buildings.
Yeah, so people that would be coming from Buckland Hill, if they're coming from the east, would typically use that entrance. If they're coming up Buckland Hill, from the south, typically they would, well, no, actually, that's a right in, right out. So you wouldn't come, you would use that entrance.
Okay, and if you were coming from the north from Ridgetop Boulevard and driving south on Myrie, you can turn right into that southern Myrie driveway, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all my questions.
Okay. Is there a additional cross from either the county or Ms. Raymond? Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, Ms. Ryland. Neil Wachter again on behalf of the county. Just a couple follow-up questions for you. You mentioned that you're the one of the declarants on the original CCNRs from 2005, which were identified in your direct examination, correct? To your knowledge, have those CCNRs ever been modified or revised? And you would know that fact based on your position as a declarant and your leadership position in I guess a couple of organizations, right?
Correct.
At the is it correct that there's been no revision of this? So it would be correct that there's been no revision of the CCNRs to account for an extra parking lot being constructed on the southernmost park. Most parcel. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you would agree that the CCNRs have not been changed for the bank to develop its building differently from the original plan that was approved in 2005.
Correct.
Just a moment. Did you personally work with the county in the process of getting the original land use approved in 2005? And council asked you repeatedly whether county staff had contacted you regarding different issues, including the CCNRs. Do you know whether that's a typical experience or a typical thing that happens in development projects like this?
Don't know.
Those are all my questions. Thank you.
There any redirect?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Ms. Ryman, thank you for your testimony this morning. So I think we had two more witnesses. Yes, I think the next two were for perhaps from Anchor Health. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And that's Ms. Raymond speaking. Is that correct?
This is Ms. Raymond, although I'm going to hand it over to my colleague, Ken Nelson, for the direct of our two witnesses.
Okay. All right. Mr. Nelson, who was the your first witness from Anchor Health?
It's going to be Mr. Chris Perky, and I see him. He's on the attendees list, so I don't know if we need to move him over to panelists.
I'll promote him to a panelist.
Great,
Just
thank
one
you.
second. Should see them pop up on the screen.
Okay. Mr. Perky, are you? Let me actually, I can look at you to see better this way.
It should start to pop up now.
Oh, wait, you know what? I need to change my so I can see everybody. Oh, they're up there. There you are. Okay. All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Perky. If you could state your name for the record.
Yeah, this is Chris Perky.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Mr. Perky, can you describe what your occupation is and the company that you work for?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Chris. I work for Anchor Health Properties. I'm the senior property manager that oversees this Cavalon One building.
Great. And what are your responsibilities as a senior property manager for Anchor Health?
Yeah, for senior property manager, I oversee a few people, but I do manage properties as well. So I manage a variety of properties in Oregon and Washington, and Cavalon being just one of the assets in this portfolio that I manage.
Great. And how long have you been managing the Cavalon One building?
3 years with
3 years, yeah.
Anchor.
And as part of your responsibilities, do you have personal knowledge of the leasing, occupancy, operations, and parking conditions at Cavalon One and within the business park generally?
I work with we have like two tenants in our building, so I work with them frequently. I have to review the leases, things like that, tenant communications, working on repairing the building inside, outside, coordinating with our maintenance team, and then obviously like any parking lot issues, they do come to me as well.
Great. And who are the current tenants of the Cavalon One property, and what portions of the building do they occupy?
So we have two tenants. Right now we have Franciscan Health, which they occupy the first, second, and part of the third floor. And then we also have Morgan Stanley that occupies a portion of the third floor. It like technically on rent rolls, like we aren't 100% leased, but the only reason why we're not 100% leased is just because of shadow vacancy. We're full. We're fully occupied.
And how long has Anchor Health owned the property for?
We've owned the asset since 2018.
2018, great. And what is your role in addressing site conditions, any tenant concerns, maintenance, and parking at the Cavalon One building?
Mine is it's property management. So we're working with the tenants. Tenant has their own facilities teams as well, but we're working on I do about monthly site visits, and then we also participate in the owners association too. We pay our portions of the parcel for the association dues. We have voting rights in the association too, and then if there's any property management related items that come for the parcel, part of the association, like we would represent the Cavalon One building.
Great. Thank you. And can the clerk please put up exhibit B10, page 3?
1 second,
Yeah,
pulling that
sure.
up.
Thank you. So, Mr. Perky, we're going to be putting up a overhead view of the business park. Should be coming up here. And can you please describe the parking area serving the Cavalon One property?
Yeah, sure. So, Cavalon One being kind of like in the left side of the picture, we have our service lot that is in the front of the building being the southern portion of the image. But the actual eastern side of the building is like the front of the building. So we have a service lot that wraps around the front. Then it goes around the south side of the building as well, and then wraps around the back. There is no like drive lane in between Cavalon One and Cavalon Two. That's like a concrete walking path. And then we have a gravel lot that's a little bit south of the building. And then on the west side of the building, you can enter in our building, and there are garage spots back there too.
Great. And in your experience, is there sufficient parking serving the Cavalon One building?
Currently, yes, as long as we can continue to have the access to that gravel lot.
And when you say as long as you have access to that gravel lot, what could affect maybe parking demand in the future? Can you speak to whether parking demand in the future would be sufficient if anything happens with that gravel lot?
Yeah, I would say because we have like an agreement with the association to be able to park, within other parking areas of the association, anytime we would have overflow, we would most likely, push into the Cavalon 2 areas of, of their parcel.
And based on your knowledge, who typically uses that gravel lot?
So we ask staff to park at the back side of the building, like the west side of the building, and then the gravel lot as well. Those are kind of like our staff parking areas. The front side of the building is what we try to prioritize for our patients that are coming in.
Great. And so how are the other parking areas, including the garage that serves the Cavalon One building and the nearby parking areas, how are those utilized by the building tenants and patients?
Yeah, so the garage has a split down the middle. On the south, there's two garage doors. On the south portion of the garage, the Morgan Stanley team uses that. And then on the north side of the garage, it's a combination of some staff. And then we also do have a like a surgery area, and patients that are have a hard time walking or anything like that, we'll let them park in the northern portion of the lot as well.
Great. And have the tenants raised concerns about parking availability, congestion, or competition for spaces?
No, because we've kind of had the issues that are, you know, currently out there resolved with adding the gravel lot that kind of like helped us out.
Great. And how did you learn about the WoodSpring Suites hotel project within the business park?
So I think this came as like an initial email from like Rich Rutger. Working on the development, explaining that they wanted to, you know, propose a hotel. And we got on a call together with the other parcel owners to discuss the project.
And from your role, being a project manager and managing the Cavalon One building, what concerns do you have about how the hotel project could affect parking, access, or circulation in the business park?
Yeah, so when I started working on this property, something that was brought up to my attention from our acquisitions team was there was like a letter from 2018, and that letter was more or less saying that our property was like originally designed for being an office building, and then it had been converted into a medical building. And around our building, we didn't have sufficient parking, so there's a parking lot analysis happened. And in that analysis, they found that if as long as we can make all of the parcels connected, like as in one association, we would be able to meet the code requirements to be able to have the building listed as like a medical building. We would meet the medical demand for a parking study. So that was something that was brought up to me that was important. And hence why, like when we talk about like the parking lot and sharing it, like we don't have like a line that's drawn in the pavement between like Cavalon One and Cavalon Two for like where we park. It's more open.
Great. And that letter from 2018, who did it come from?
I want to say that was a conversation between our acquisitions team and the city.
Great. And can the clerk please bring up Exhibit F47 and then scroll down to in F47, there's an Exhibit B attached towards the end of that document.
Exhibit B.
Exhibit B of
Okay.
Exhibit F47. Yeah.
One second,
Sure.
finding
Yeah.
that page.
Great. Yep. So is Mr. Perky, is this the letter that you were referring to?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And so this letter came from the county. And as you were discussing, is it correct to say that this letter indicated that the Cavalon One building would be allowed to have a lesser amount of parking than what would have been required under the code at that time, as long as it was able to have access to joint parking within the rest of the business park?
Yes, that's how I understood the letter.
Great. Great. Thank you. We can take that letter down, that exhibit down. Thank you so much. And so, what specific concerns, Mr. Perky, do you have about the proposed hotel layout and just assumptions about parking with that hotel layout?
Yeah, so I think that from a layout perspective, I'm trying to think from the imagery. So like looking down at it from the top down drawing, like satellite view, The building is pushed all the way to the east side. And all of our buildings have like a front entrance on the Myrie Road side of the building. And when you're coming up to the hotel, the smallest portion of the parking lot is on the east side of the hotel. And in my, for looking at the parking lot as a whole, the difference between Cavalon 1 and Cavalon 2 and then the hotel is that there's also small parking lots that are in the front of the buildings. We utilize it for patient flow, and I think that the hotel would probably use that front portion of the parking lot for people arriving. I think it would be most likely their front entrance to the building. The thing that we are able to do with our staff and other people coming in is you're able to get to the back of the building because all the drive lanes wrap around to the back. And we have a lot of other parking on the side of the building and at the back of the building and also in our garage. So we're able to funnel a lot of our staff to the back and leave spaces open up for our patients. When the hotel like put that proposal together, looking at the drawing, their rear parking lot really isn't accessible unless you're coming in from the Kitsap Credit Union. So if people are coming into the front entrance of the hotel from either the drive lanes on the Myrie Road, which I think is the most accessible and kind of like the front entrances to the association, it is difficult to get to the rear lot. So what I could see happening in the future is that if people check in at the front of the hotel at the front entrance and they're unable to find parking in that front area, they're just going to cascade down to Cavalon 2 and then Cavalon 1. And it's going to push a lot of our people further south. And because the lot in the back for the hotel isn't connected to Cavalon 1 and Cavalon 2, we can't even like push staff around to get over to the back of the hotel if it were treated as like a shared parking lot, part of the agreement with the association.
Great. Is there anything else about parking access or occupancy or the business park operations that would be helpful to for the parties to understand?
Yeah, sure. So when the parking lot studies were, getting put together, I think the hotel development team, they had their own traffic study put together, and then like there was another traffic study that came out after that with us. Something that was in that is the timing. Our building, yes, 100% leased on paper, but there are areas in the building that are leased, yes, but not 100% occupied. There are areas within the doctor's clinic that aren't fully utilized. I think the doctor's clinic and Franciscan would have a better time explaining like their patient flow and their volumes and how many doctors they have. And then for the Morgan Stanley team, they also have a team that can work from home. They have a lot of desks in their office. A lot of people can be virtual. So the decrease in that, we're seeing like a lower volume of patients. Also, something to mention too, this building, part of Anchor Health Properties is we always like to convert our buildings to 100% occupancy as in a medical tenant. So right now we're at an 80% vacancy or 80% occupancy of medical and about 20% with Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley would at some point move out and we would hopefully bring in another healthcare tenant into the space. So we could see more patient flows, more providers coming in. So I do have concerns from like an occupancy standpoint. Although it is leased, it could be less.
Great, thank you. That's all of our questions.
Okay. Is there additional direct for Mr. Pinky? Perky, sorry.
No.
Nope. Okay. Is there any cross-examination for Mr. Perky?
None for me, thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Perky, have there been meetings of the Highland Business Association regarding the WoodSprings hotels?
Yes, so after Rich Rutger had let us know about the proposed plan for the hotel, we did a call together talking about the aesthetics of the building. And during that call, we were able to talk about what color and what architectural design, like style type, the hotel could be. But it was something on that call that happened was we talked a lot about our concerns with parking, but we weren't able to we weren't able to make any decisions or vote or, talk about any of that type of stuff during that call with the development team. It was strictly, about the color of the hotel that we could choose and vote on.
Why were you unable to make any decisions or conduct a vote?
That was what I was told from the developer team that we were not able to.
I'm sorry, who told you that?
Rich Rutger and the development team, we weren't able to, we didn't vote on hey, parking is a concern and can we change the number of stalls? But there was no discussion on that.
Did the subject of the hotel or the proposed hotel's parking configuration come up during that meeting? And I'm specifically most concerned with the fact that there is not access to the west side of the hotel from the properties to the south.
There were concerns that were brought up, but there were no documented follow-ups or votes or anything like that that happened during that meeting.
Is there any point where your association simply told the hotel developers that they could not proceed as they planned with their parking and their configuration?
I don't believe that that portion was talked about in the meeting. At least I don't remember that.
Right, thank you.
Well, is there any redirect?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Perky.
Welcome.
I think there was another witness that the
Yes.
appellant wished to call. Yeah.
Yep, it's Jay, and that's Jay Burghardt in the attendees list currently.
Okay. Mr. Burkhart, do we have you online? Oh, there you are. I can't see you. There you go. All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Burkhart. If you can state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is J. Allen Burkhart.
And you swear affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Burkhart, can you describe your occupation and how long you've worked at the company that you currently work for?
Yes, my title is Executive Director of the Doctor's Clinic. I have been on the executive team of the Doctor's Clinic since 1999, for about 7 years as the CFO, about 7 years as the COO, and the last roughly 12 years as Executive Director. Which is equivalent to the CEO title, but we're a professional service corporation, so the titles are executive director in this role.
And how long has the doctor's clinic been at the Cavalon One building?
So the doctor's clinic purchased the building in right around 2009, 2010 timeframe. And we purchased it from the group that originally built the building. I don't know the name of that group, but it was Rich Rucker Hazelwood Ownership Group. I don't know the name. And we bought the building. It was shelled out without any improvements on floor one and floor two. And floor three had Smith Barney as a tenant already when we bought the building.
And is Smith Barney, is that the same as the Morgan Stanley affiliated group? Is that the
Yes,
same
yes,
one?
yes.
Great. Yeah. And can you describe what the doctor's clinic is and what your day-to-day responsibilities are at the doctor's clinic?
Yes, so the doctor's clinic is a group of physicians that are have an independent ownership model. The clinic is owned by the physicians who practice at the doctor's clinic. And we have a broad spectrum of primary care and specialists that serve all throughout Kitsap County. Cavillon itself is a building that has been designated primarily to what we call internal medicine specialties like cardiology, neurology, allergy, those types of specialists. So similarly grouped physician practices.
Great, thank you. And what type of patients does the doctor's clinic serve?
So the doctor's clinic serves primary care, specialty, internal medicine specialty types of patients, and we also take care of surgical patients, primarily in other buildings besides Cavillon.
And at the Cavillon One building, about how much time do patients from when they arrive to the building to the end of their appointment and when they leave, about how much time do they spend at the site?
I would say a rough estimate of time, which varies by provider and day, is a typical event for it would be a patient coming in and registering and spending roughly an hour and a half of total time waiting, seeing the patient, dealing with the things that they need to deal with, whether it's an injection or different things like that.
And are there portions of the doctor's clinic space at the Cavillon One building that are not currently in active use? And are there current plans to fill those spaces with additional doctors?
So yes, there is one space in our building that is not developed for that we have active energy to developing. It's a space in on the main floor of the building that was previously an infusion suite for our oncology department, which now all happens across the street at the hospital. And that space we intend to develop into three more doctor teams. The third floor of the building is conference room. Basically, all of the space that is not part of Morgan Stanley is a conference room. And that space we currently don't have any plans to develop as physician space, primarily because we don't feel that there is enough parking to actually have physicians' practices on that space.
Great. And do you use those conference rooms now, for meetings?
Yes, we do. We limit it's a space that holds in one room about 40, 50 participants in a conference. And the other room maybe holds 20, 25, or it can be used for a refreshment food element part of a meeting. And we limit right now the use of that space to 10 or less participants during business hours because it creates too much of an impact on parking today. So, if someone came to us and wanted to use our space, let's say Kitsap Medical Society wants to run a conference there, if it's over 10, we say no today because we can't handle 50 or 60 more cars for, say, an 8-hour event during the day. But we do use it for larger meetings after 5 o'clock and on weekends or other types of events that may happen.
Thank you. And can you speak to more to who's coming to use that space? Are they employees of the doctor's clinic? Are they actively working at that Cavillon One building? Are they coming from other buildings? And are there non-doctor's clinic employees that would come to use that space?
So it can be a group of different things. We do use it for small team meetings from the building itself. Actually, we let Morgan Stanley use that building free of charge for small events. But For most events, it would be a team of people that are coming from multiple different sites within our organization, or we have a contractual relationship with St. Michael's across the street and the hospital and their physicians. So it's not unusual for someone at the hospital to need a space for a small meeting or say a night continuing education for physicians and those sorts of things is a pretty common thing. So we do all of those things kind of inside the parameters of, hey, that we can't have more than 10 outside people coming in at a time during 8 to 5 hours.
And you mentioned that you're not currently using all of the available space you have, and you have plans to develop that space. Currently, how many doctors are operating at the Cavillon One building?
So currently, we have 10 providers that are seeing patients, and their home base for their practice is in that space, is 10.
And given the amount of space that you have to work with, if you were to maximize that space and maximize the amount of providers, how many providers could theoretically utilize that space, the total
Right.
space?
So high level, we currently are built. Our current space is built to be able to accommodate 15 doctors. So we actually have room for five today. And the suite on the main floor could accommodate three more doctors. So that would be a total of 18 that our aggregate space could accommodate, unless we were able to build out the third floor into additional physician space. If we did that, we could put at least three more doctors, maybe four doctors, depending on the specialty that we were designing for, could be put into that conference room area upstairs. We've never really evaluated the business plan for that because of it's just it's not we can't use the space that way today.
And why do you say you can't use the space for that today? What are there constraints that would prevent you from
Yeah.
using that space?
Well, there's parking constraints. We have when we first opened the building for the first 10 years or so, we had all 15 of our spaces were fully utilized. And when we were fully utilized at 15 physicians, we did not have enough space for our patients at 15. Which brought us to requesting of the association helping to helping by putting additional gravel parking into the mix. We did it on the south side of the two Cavillon buildings, and there's a group of north gravel spaces. And the idea in discussing this within the association was that it was kind of an accommodation of the two other pieces of land that are undeveloped. They're not being developed. So, if those two other pieces of land had been developed as an association with shared parking across all buildings, there would have been more efficiency. And so that was the argument that we used to ask for gravel parking to help accommodate the lack of efficiencies from not having those two spaces developed.
So you're saying these undeveloped parcels, they don't have formal parking. They're not necessarily striped sometimes for parking, but are you saying that they're essential for you to be able to operate?
Yeah, so basically the argument we made at the time, I still believe today, is that when we are our 15 spaces are full as a medical space, that we often had patients circling the building waiting for parking space to open, and we argued successfully with the association that it was because of these two lots not being developed, and therefore we wanted to put gravel at our expense to basically mitigate some of that. And when we had 15 pa doctors in the space, and we added those extra roughly 12 parking spaces that we put employees only into. It made our parking for patient care and 15 doctors manageable.
And can you speak to how many patients each doctor would see in a day?
It varies greatly by physician and by specialty. But I would say a rough average of the number of patients being seen by providers in this building today is somewhere around 18. On the high end, 20 or 21. On the low end, 15, 16. But an average of 18, 19 patients per day is pretty good average. So, yeah, different specialties are different. Like for in our allergy practice, they might see 15 patients a day, but they also have a whole group of patients that come in for allergy shots every day for their immunotherapy for their allergies. And so those are patients that come in that don't see the doctor, but yet are in the building for a period of time to receive services.
And you noted previously that you have 10 doctors operating at the Cavalon One building. And if you did expand and you went up to, you noted that you could and you plan to develop up to 18 spaces for doctors. If that was fully utilized, what would that mean for parking at the Cavalon One building?
We believe today that 18 would probably put us in a parking deficit similar to where we were when we had 15. So really developing those next three doctor spaces, obviously we haven't developed it right now because we have four or five spaces to fill, but developing all 18 physicians would put pressure on the current parking. It might give rise to us having a conversation about further expansion of gravel parking on our south lot in order to help accommodate that. I think in the association rules that our south lot was identified as a lot for a restaurant. And so a restaurant is much more nighttime evening parking. And so all of that was part of the original planning of the building. And so, I think if we had 18 physicians in this building, we would need to discuss potentially additional gravel along the entire south flank of the building in order for it to work the way it was intended to work.
And you mentioned you previously had 15 providers operating at the Cavalon One building. When parking became difficult, what would patients do when they were unable to find a parking spot?
Well, they would circle, and they would circle around Cavalon 1 and Cavalon 2. But if Cavalon 1 and Cavalon 2 were completely full, they would circle and wait, and sometimes come to their physician visit and say, "I'm 5 minutes later, and I'm 10 minutes late because I was waiting for a patient to leave so that there was a spot available." And that was a pretty routine thing in the days when we were at capacity.
And when that happens, how does that affect patient care and how does that affect the schedule of the providers and being able to provide that care?
It delays the care. In the long run, what it does is physicians need to be able to see their patients in a reasonable period of time from their visit. And if a physician runs behind too much, they will have to adjust their schedule to accommodate, being able to take care of patients, throughout the day. And if they're running late too much, patients become unsatisfied. And so, having enough patient parking and patient seating, right? Those are the two things that drive our ability to have patients ready and available to be seen. We need enough seats, in our reception areas, and we need enough parking in our parking lots to accommodate the practices that are seeing patients that day.
And have you observed other vehicles from the other building associated with the other buildings in the business park, such as the Kitsap Credit Union, other tenants in the Cavalon buildings, delivery vehicles? Have you seen those types of vehicles compete for parking areas intended to serve the Cavalon One building?
They do at times, and I think the opposite happens as well, right? We see employees and patients on busy days that can't find a parking spot that will park in a Cavalon 2 spot. That's how the parking lot is designed, and we see patients that park in front of our building that walk across to the Cavalon, the second Cavalon building. We call it Pacific Northwest Title Building. We see it happen both ways. When we are shorter on patient physician numbers, we don't see it happen as much. And the same thing happens in that building. If they're maximally rented, then they're more likely to flow to us. And if we're maximally rent, have physician wise, then we flow to them.
And have patients, visitors, or staff of the doctor's clinic ever raised concerns about parking availability, safety, or convenience?
I think the two things is convenience because they want to be on time. Because many physician practices have policies around if you need to be on time to be seen, right? And if a patient shows up half an hour late for their visit, they oftentimes will get rescheduled. And so patients are worried about that because, like many communities, we don't have enough providers in our community. And so patients are anxious about being on time. And so they do complain either to our management team or to the physicians themselves, if they're frustrated about, having a difficult time, getting parking.
And are you aware of the proposed WoodSpring Suites hotel project on the vacant parcel within the business park?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And do you have concerns about the hotel project's impacts on the doctor clinic's operations? And if so, can you speak to that?
Yes, I do have concerns. I think our concerns are twofold. The first is I was actually in one of the, even though we are not an owner of Anchor, the Anchor Properties building that Chris was speaking about before, prior to me, we are a previous owner and we are a large tenant, probably the largest tenant in the park. And so we were invited to participate in the meeting, at least one meeting related to the possibility of this land being put for sale and a potential tenant that was on that. So I did participate in that call Zoom meeting, and we do have general concerns about what I call east to west flow, because our building has east to west flow on the south side of our campus. The other Cavalon building has east to west flow on their campus, and the initial proposals that we saw about how the hotel was laid out there was concern about no east to west flow in that hotel, and we were worried about that because that would basically force patients east to west on someone else on our property or the bank's property. I was not aware that there was no north to south flow from the Cavalon 1 and 2. That even gives me greater concern, quite honestly. And we were also generally concerned about the fit, business fit, of patrons of the hotel and how parking would work. And we weren't certain when we were having the meeting whether it was short stay, long stay. There was discussions about the owner potentially being an extended stay type of facility. And so we were a bit worried about parking that would end up being multi-day parking related to extended stay types of scenarios. So, but I'm not aware of the end result of what the proposal is. That was just what was being presented to us at the as a large tenant in the park at that time.
And is there anything else about parking, access, patient care, the use of the Cavalon One building that would be helpful for the parties to understand?
I think, in my opinion, the development of this park is based on all of the spaces being built out, and to the extent that the current hotel doesn't help with cross collateral parking, is concerning, and the ongoing concern that we have about the south lot not being built out as well. For us, we basically can't maximally utilize the space that we pay rent on today. We are limited in how much physician space we can develop based on parking today.
I guess my last question is, can you speak to the hours of operation of the clinic and typically when peak demand for parking is the highest?
We are primarily 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Our current group of physicians tend to work less on Friday afternoon than others. And so, if you were to look at a daily use rate on any given day, I would expect that Friday would be the lowest because most of our practices aren't seeing patients on Friday afternoon. So, Friday would be lower. And our peak demand usually falls right in that 8 to 9:30 window every morning, because there's a philosophy of getting 2 or 3 patients into a physician's office because there's 2 or 3 exam rooms to be filled right away. And so there tends to be a little bit of what I call patient load that's higher in that 8 to 9, 9:30 window, and the 1 to 2, 2:30 window. So those are our two peak times that we have the most patients in the building for the existing practices that we have.
Great. And one follow-up question to that is, would you have a concern with the operation of an extended stay hotel and their parking during those peak times for the doctor's clinic?
Well, of course, when we bought our building years back, the intent was that there were going to be 3 office buildings and or medical practice buildings. When we bought, we were converting our space to medical, and the intent of the parks, their stated purpose was to have 3 buildings of similar use that could share similar parking flow, and that all 3 of those buildings, could potentially flow to a restaurant parking lot to the farthest south because it was more of an evening nighttime type of flow. When we bought our building and developed, the bank wasn't there yet, but I walked by that bank, once a week, headed down to our building, and their parking is relatively full every day as well. So, we would be concerned about anything that changed the intent of the design, the intended design, put forth to the county as we develop the buildings.
Thank you. That's all of our questions on direct. Thank you.
All right. Is there any additional direct? Is there any cross-examination? Nope. Okay. All right. Oh.
None for me. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Mr. Burkhart, thank you for your testimony this afternoon.
You're welcome.
All right. I believe, was that the last witness for the appellants? Is that correct from what I heard earlier? Okay. All right. So we are almost at 3. I'm wondering if, because we were not going to go to, I think, the applicant county witnesses today. So I'm wondering if we should close for today and then reconvene in the morning. And I'm just looking to the parties for their take on that. Oh, we have the, wait, the Zoom people are froze. Some of the, not me, it looks like, but some of the other Zoom people. Are they frozen?
I don't know if you can
Oh,
hear
you're
me.
not. Okay. That
Okay.
wasn't my optical illusion.
No, they're just, they're
I
very,
would,
very still.
yeah. I guess I'd say if there are county witnesses available, I'd have a mild preference to keep going today, but I guess defer to Mr. Wachter. I'll say we don't anticipate calling all of the witnesses on our list, but I do anticipate Mr. Schramm's testimony, our transportation expert, will take somewhat longer than we had anticipated, and so it would be great to be able to use a good amount of tomorrow for that.
Okay. All right.
County could call.
Excuse me, the county could call Robert Hankins.
Okay. Should we do that then?
And understanding that arguably this is out of order, but we want to get his testimony on and
You're comfortable with that?
understanding that there's always the possibility of having to recall a witness.
Understood.
Yes.
Okay. Do you need a short break or should we? And I guess this is for the clerk too. Should we take 10 minutes? Okay. Why don't we take a 10-minute break and then we'll go to the county's witness. So it is 2:50. Well, we'll just reconvene at 3:10. Is that
That works for me. Thank you.
okay? All right. We are adjourned until 3:10.